Good morning. It's a blessing to be here this morning. It's been a blessing so far to worship the Lord with the song service this morning, and I've just been blessed and encouraged already here this morning. So I know we just prayed, but maybe we'll bow our heads for a word of prayer here before we start. Our Father, we come before you this morning. We're thankful, Lord, for your presence with us here. We're thankful that we have the opportunity to gather together in your name this morning and worship you. And I just pray this morning that you would bless this service today, Father. I pray that you would be with me as I speak here, Father, that the words that I speak can be from you, Lord, and they could minister life to those that are listening, Father. I just pray you would give me calmness of heart as I speak here and just bless the words that come from my mouth, Lord. I pray that again, that you just bless this service and be with us today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I was thinking about what to share here, there was different things that I thought about, and it seemed like this kind of kept coming back to me. I've had a few conversations with different people recently, and this came up, and I've been thinking about this a lot, and so I want to talk a little bit this morning about the love of God, and I would like to somehow bring a little bit of an understanding. There's a lot of emphasis on our day on the love of God, but there's not as much emphasis on our love to God. There's a big thing. There's a lot of talk, and there's a lot of emphasis on how much God loves us, and we just need to believe in that love, and we need to receive that love, and God will basically take care of all of our problems if we do that. And I don't want to minimize this morning the love of God. I believe it's true. The Bible says a lot about God's love, and in John 4:8, it actually says that God is love. And I'm not here this morning to try to put any of that down or to try to say that that's not true. Because I do believe that God does love every person, regardless of who they are or where they're at with God. But it seems like God is being made out to be a God that's just standing there and he's just patting us on the back because he loves us so much that if we sin, he's going to forgive us anyway. So it doesn't... It minimizes... What seems to happen is sin gets minimized, and it doesn't look as evil because God's love is always overshadowing that terribleness of sin. And I know that there's another ditch as well, and I don't want us to get the picture that God is this God that's standing there with a big stick, and he's just waiting till we make a mistake, and then he's going to give us a whack and put us in our place. I don't want us to get that picture of God. I don't think that we have that problem here this morning. But I want to be clear that that's not what I'm trying to say. I just think it's important for us to realize that God is love. God is a God of love, but he's not okay with sin just because he's a God of love. And it seems like some of the conversations I've had, and a lot of the people that put so much emphasis on God's love, there's a lot of times some kind of a sin in their life that they're just clinging to, and they're not willing to give it up. But yet they're so focused on the fact that God loves them, and if they just believe in that love and they receive that love, then they're going to be okay. And for some reason, it seems like we don't hear nearly as much about the verse in Psalm 11, that Psalm 7:11, where it says, God judges the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. We don't hear as much about that verse. God does have a righteous anger. And His love does not minimize His hatred for sin. So I was talking with someone this week, and we were having just a conversation about different things, and he asked me, he was more or less, he wasn't exactly believing this. He was kind of believing it, I think, but he was kind of asking me how I feel about it. He was reading this book, and he's saying that the author of this book talks about hell, and he asked me if I believe that there is really a place like hell, that is a place of fire and brimstone and a terrible place of punishment that the bad people will go to. And he said that it could be just, maybe it's just like a thing that when we're going through struggles or something and we're down in the dumps, then that could be hell. That maybe it's not, he didn't really feel like it's actually a place of torment that we'll go to in the end of our lives. And I disagree with that, obviously, and the point I'm trying to make here is I think that that type of thinking is a result of what I'm talking about. It's people believe so much that God loves them that it's hard for them to understand how God could actually punish people in a place like hell. And that thought kind of jolted me as I thought about that, is that we would actually get to the place where we think that God is, I mean, that completely changes the picture if we look at God as someone that wouldn't actually punish people for doing wrong. So I just did a little bit of study in the Bible a little bit on God's love, and in some ways I have maybe it's maybe more like a Bible study this morning, and you don't need to turn to all the verses I have. I have a lot of verses here that I found, and then there's just several points I made here, and I want to go through these things and just look at what the Bible says about God's love, and I just feel like this brings some context to what I'm trying to say. So the first thing that I have here, and I feel this ties in with the fact that God does love us, is that God's love will reach down and comfort those that are hurting or brokenhearted. And the Bible talks a lot about that, that God's love is real in that way. Psalm 147:3 says, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. And then Matthew 11:28 says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then in Revelation 21:4, it says, And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. God is a God of compassion, and God does love us, and God loved us to the extent of being willing to send His Son to die so that we can have eternal life. So, God does care about the things we're facing. And if you're here this morning and you're hurting inside, if you have hurts that you're facing, or if you're broken in heart, then God's love is definitely for you. And number two, I have down that God's love will provide forgiveness, redemption, and salvation to a broken and repentant sinner. And the Bible is clear on that as well. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." And so, like I said, God loves us to the extent that He did that for us. He sent His Son to die so that we can be saved and have that hope of everlasting life. But I would like to make a point in that verse in John 3:16. It does say that it says he gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him. So I feel like there's one of the first things we see that God's love requires action. It requires us to believe. He's not going to force His love on anyone. And it's not just automatically going to cover our sins. If we don't have faith and believe, then God's love will not do us any good. And then the next one I have down is that God's love requires us to love others. John 13:34, a new commandment I've given to you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And verse 35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one to another." In John 15:12, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." And so now we start seeing, again, that God's love has some requirements for us as well. It's not just a thing that's there and just automatically takes care of all of our problems. There's things we must do. We can't just have a hatred towards people or a hatred towards our brothers in our hearts and have God's love in our hearts as well. I think that this is a sign of how much of God's love we have in us, how much we love one another. A question I would have is our love to others as perfect as we expect God's love to us to be? I think if our hearts are full of God's love, that love will start flowing, overflowing, and it will flow out to the people around us. And the next one I have is, God's love does not give us a license to sin or have a careless attitude toward our Christian life. Romans 6:1-2, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead in sin live any longer therein?" And these verses are clear that we don't just continue living in sin, because we know that we can be forgiven, that God loves us and He's going to forgive us. That does not give us a license to live in sin and to continue on in sin. God's not going to tolerate sin no matter how much love He has. And then the next one I have is, God's love requires us to be faithful to Him and love Him in return. John 15:9-11. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And then Matthew 22:37-40. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So there's a few things in here that I feel like is a commandment that is a requirement of us if we're going to have God's love. And we see in verse 9 there of John 15, it says, Continue ye in my love. We need to continue to faithfully serve Him and continue living in God's love, in order for us to have that love in our hearts. And then verse 10 says, If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. It doesn't just say that ye shall abide in my love. It says, If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. God has given everything for us. He has sent His very own Son to die for us. And what are we doing in return for what God has done for us? Are we giving our all in return for what He has done for us? And the next thing I have down here, this is the last thing I have, is that the love of God cannot be taken away from us. And that's based on Romans 8:39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I think that I feel like there is nothing, no one, and no circumstance this morning that can separate us from the love of God. It seems like many times people that are facing difficult situations grapple with the question of how could a loving God allow this to happen? And I think that this verse here teaches us that those things cannot cannot take the love of God from us, but I do believe that God does not force His love on anyone. And if we are not willing to accept the gift of His love, then that's what can separate us from the love of God. So that's about all I have here. I feel like maybe this brings a little bit of context to what I'm saying. As we look at these things, we see that God's love is not just God patting us on the back and being okay with us living in sin, but God's love requires action on our part as well. God's love requires us to believe, to pour out our love to others, and to serve God with all our heart. That's all I have this morning.